Welcome to the America's Workforce Radio Podcast, the flagship production of the American Workers Radio and Podcast Network, where organized labor and its never-ending fight to protect the rights of the American worker come first. Now, presented by LIUNA, Laborers International Union of North America, here's your host, Ed Flash Ferens.
New polling on the PRO Act, what the right-wingers are saying. Where's the media on the Warrior Met strike in Alabama? And today on the show, the latest from the communication workers on broadband and the Transportation Trades Department of the Labor Federation. Welcome to the Monday, July 26th edition of America's Workforce, where we are available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, as well as Pandora. And we have two guests on the show today. If you are a regular listener to the show, you heard Frank Matthews. This was last Tuesday he was joining us, and he was talking about the Communication Workers of America's broadband campaign. And one of the people he was talking about is the guy that's pretty much in the center of it all. His name is Kojak Valentine. Kojak is an active member within the union. He is currently a regional coordinator for the Build Broadband Better National Project. Boy, that's a mouthful. The Build Broadband Better Project is a coalition of CWA activists from all around the country who are dedicated to the advancement of broadband for all regions, This is a big campaign. It includes a petition to Congress, a TV and digital ad campaign, and a broadband brigade of current wireless workers to fan out nationwide to push the cause. And they dedicated a website to it, buildbroadbandbetter.org. And right now, Congress and the Biden administration are paying very close attention to the issue. The initial coronavirus rescue law included several billion dollars to expand the wireless network. Well, that's a start. They got to go a little bit, well, maybe a lot farther. Let me put it that way. Because the pandemic revealed just how dependent we are on the internet. Think about schools. Schools would not be able to be in session if they did not have Zoom. Yeah, and it might be going back that way if this Delta variant keeps exploding around the country. Great comment here from Chris Sheldon. Chris is the president of the CWA. He said, school kids shouldn't have to go to the McDonald's parking lot with their tablets to do their homework by receiving Wi-Fi via broadband. And a lot of them did that. He said, if the pandemic taught us anything, it taught us that everybody needs broadband. It's like electricity or water. The CWA has been pushing for universal high-speed internet access for 15 years. That is true. That is absolutely true. We've had many conversations on this, and other countries are just beating us to the finish line. So, what's going to happen? Kojak is in the middle of it all, and he'll be our first guest. Greg Regan will be joining us on behalf of the Transportation Trades Department of the AFL-CIO. And he's going to talk about the bipartisan Senate infrastructure bill. And from what I've been gathering, you know what the problem is? Mass transit. Right now, the bill is about 80% for road and bridge construction and 20% for transit, mass transit. And the conservatives don't like that. They want more to go to roads and bridges and less for mass transit. And okay, who uses mass transit in this country? People who cannot afford a vehicle, many of them. And a lot of young people who just don't want to drive. I understand that. That's why many of them are moving into urban areas. But we're talking about the scaled-down infrastructure bill, $1.2 trillion. And over the weekend, Ohio Senator Rob Portman said both sides were about 90% of the way there. And the issue, he didn't beat around the bush. He says it's mass transit. Love to hear what Greg has to say about this. TTD.org, there is a statement. This is what Greg said. Working with Congress and the administration to deliver on President Biden's promise of major and long overdue investments in America's infrastructure remains the top priority for the Transportation Trades Department. We are encouraged by the group of Senate negotiators who signaled that significant progress has been made on the final agreement. We urge them to continue their work with the administration and leaders in the House to iron out their differences and put forward legislation that meets the needs of all Americans. Greg goes on to say, we cannot squander this moment. Americans deserve serious federal investments that will ensure the creation of good jobs with strong worker and safety protections, safe roads and bridges, reliable and expanded public transportation and passenger rail, efficient movement of goods across ports, roads, and rail lines, and world-class airports that keep pace with investments being made around the rest of the world. Sounds pretty simple, doesn't it? Depending on time, we'll also take a look at what's going on with passenger service agents. And more people are saying the crimes that are happening on airlines right now. I had a story a couple of weeks ago where a passenger had to be duct taped to her seat because she tried to open the plane door. Do you realize what would have happened in that case? No one would have survived that. Earlier this month, a passenger boarding an American Airlines flight, this was at the Charlotte Douglas Airport, assaulted three employees from Piedmont Airlines, which is a subsidiary of American Airlines. The passenger, who was drunk, became violent after one of the passenger service agents, in the course of carrying out his security duties, prevented the passenger from boarding a flight. It's ridiculous what's going on. Absolutely ridiculous. So depending on time, we'll get into that as well. Last week was the outreach for the AFL-CIO across the country on the PRO Act, and I just want to salute a couple of states here. Oregon, an immigrants' rights organization called CAUSHA Oregon, joined with the Oregon AFL-CIO to take part in the State Federation's postcard writing campaign for the PRO Act. The president of that federation, Graham Trainer, comes from the Electrical Workers Union, explained Oregon's unions and community partners are hosting pro-act postcard signing parties around the state, all during last week's National Week of Action, and it was pretty well attended, too. A crowd of union members on the street tends to attract attention, we know that, and that's exactly what happened last week in downtown Milwaukee. Dozens of members of the Milwaukee Area Labor Council, led by President Pam Fent, who comes from Liuna, gathered to present a thank you card to Senator Tammy Baldwin's office. The reason for the appreciation? The senator's support for the PRO Act, the most significant worker empowerment legislation since the Great Depression. They even commented, through our event to thank Senator Baldwin, we saw firsthand the interest in expanding union protections and coverage to more workplaces in the Milwaukee area, said Fent. And check this out. A new public opinion survey from Data for Progress shows that Arizona voters overwhelmingly support the PRO Act. Arizona! A broad coalition representing 65% of the electorate in the state supports the landmark labor law reform, while only 24% oppose it. Executive Director of the Arizona Federation, Fred Yamashita, who comes from the Food and Commercial Workers, reacted to the results. This is a testament to what our labor movement has been saying since the beginning of the year. You cannot claim to support workers and not support the PRO Act. They are intrinsically tied. And Arizona's working families look forward to the support of our senators on the most significant worker empowerment legislation since the Great Depression. Now, I think some of that polling has finally hit Arizona senators, because last week on the show, Bill Samuel indicated Mark Kelly, who's one of the two, came out saying he's in favor of the PRO Act. The only one standing right now is Kyrsten Sinema. Mark Warner has indicated he, too, is going to support the PRO Act. He's in Virginia. So when they're taking a look at those polls, they obviously realize they better do what a lot of people are asking for. Meanwhile, there's some pushback on this issue. Not surprising, of course, coming from the Republicans. I keep getting these emails from the House Education and Labor Committee on behalf of the Republican Party. And this is their latest email. The PRO Act is a dangerous step backwards for the American workforce. That's why Democrats are subverting the people's will by considering this payoff for union bosses as part of their so-called infrastructure proposal. This was titled, by the way, Union Bosses' Paychecks Are Not Infrastructure. Then they go on to say this is going to overturn right-to-work laws. That's what we want, right? It will kill the small business franchise industry and sharing economy. This is what they wrote. The PRO Act deprives individuals of entrepreneurial opportunities, the ability to set their own hours, and the flexibility to care for children and family members during the pandemic by creating burdensome and discredited legal standards for determining joint employment and independent contractor status. Oh my God, there's more here. It will infringe on workers' rights to privacy. It will facilitate union corruption and wrongdoing. Absolute power corrupts absolutely. The PRO Act will take power from the people and give it to union bosses. It's amazing. You know, they also came out with a statement last week hitting the Biden administration for publishing a proposed rule to increase the minimum wage to $15 an hour for federal contractors. Disguised as a win for workers, this $15 minimum wage will severely disadvantage small businesses competing for federal contracts because they are poorly positioned to absorb these additional expenses. I'm sorry, if you can't pay $15 an hour dealing with the federal government, there is something wrong with you. This is ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. So you can see the trend here. The Republicans want to just keep wages down and keep unions away. One more here. And this is really sad. Media Matters, an organization that monitors the U.S. media, found that CNN, Fox News, and MSNBC, mind you, did not spend a single minute of airtime on the mine workers' strike in Alabama. Shame on them, especially MSNBC. Come on. The strike is the first time mine workers in Alabama have gone on strike in 40 years. It began over 3 months ago. The lack of coverage is in spite of local and international news coverage by print and online media. And during the window that Media Matters studied, there were three big news networks all failing to cover the strike. One mine worker's wife was struck by a car, which the union believes was orchestrated by the people with the company, and some mine workers were arrested. That was not covered. I don't get it. I really don't get it. By the way, they're marching on Wall Street this week. That's going to be this Wednesday in the lunch hour, the mine workers union. All right, we're going to break. When we come back, the latest on the broadband campaign on behalf of the Communication Workers of America.
This is America's Workforce.
It takes LIUNA to build North America's infrastructure. From roads and bridges to schools and skyscrapers, the men and women of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, build the projects we depend on. From constructing the Freedom Tower on the site of the former World Trade Center to untangling Washington, D.C.'s congested interstate, LIUNA members do the work that matters. Find out what it takes to be built by LIUNA at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.org.
Mesothelioma is a rare type of cancer caused by exposure to asbestos. If you were exposed to asbestos and have mesothelioma or lung cancer, the trial lawyers at Kelly & Ferraro may be able to help you. Find us at KellyandFerraro.com. Kelly & Ferraro, trial lawyers.
The United Steelworkers of America represent over 70,000 workers in the state of Ohio. Steelworker members enjoy the benefits of some of the best contracts of any workers in the world. Many of your friends, neighbors, and relatives are members of one of the most effective democratic unions in our country. With the pressures unorganized workers are under in today's economy, you need to join them. So call the Steelworkers Organizing Office at 216-292-5683 or toll free at 1-800-443-3752.
America's Workforce is sponsored in part by Boyd Watterson Asset Management, LLC. Find out more about our investment solutions tailored to meet the needs of Taft-Hartley funds at BoydWatterson.com.
This segment of America's Workforce is brought to you by Survey and Ballot Systems. SBS has been providing unions with secure and flexible election options for over 30 years. Visit SurveyandBallotSystems.com to learn more.
Now, back to America's Workforce. Here's Ed Flash Ferens.
And don't forget, we're also on Facebook, and you can follow us on Twitter. Twitter handle is at AWF Union Podcast, AWF Union Podcast. Before we get to our segment on broadband, expanding broadband, I just want to do a shout-out for the Frito-Lay workers who are still on strike in Kansas. And the strike is picking up some national attention, unlike the TV coverage on the Warrior-Mets strike. Unionized with the Bakery, Confectionery, Tobacco Workers, and Grain Millers Union, the workers are protesting what they view as unsustainable working conditions. Here's the deal. Forced overtime, so-called suicide shifts, where you have only 8 hours off in between 12-hour shifts, extreme heat, and more. The most recent proposal from Frito-Lay would end the possibility of back-to-back 12-hour shifts with just 8 hours off in between, but would still permit forced overtime up to 6 days a week. The workers, who have called for a nationwide boycott of both Frito-Lay and PepsiCo products, you see, PepsiCo owns Frito-Lay, they're set to resume bargaining today. So, I don't know. They got a long way to go, no doubt. And it's hot all around the country. You know that. It's even worse because they're making potato chips, Doritos, all those things. And it's all in vats of grease. Ay, ay, ay. Sad situation. All right. Before we go to our next guest, I want to play a clip here. And this is on Facebook. And as I mentioned at the top of the show, the CWA has embarked on a nationwide campaign to expand broadband. And the guy in the center of it all is Kojak Valentine. Let's listen to this clip, which is posted on Facebook.
I have a great job. I help families get online with fast, reliable broadband internet. It's hard work, but my company and my union trained me to do it right. Congress is considering investing in better broadband access. Expanding access will help students learn and the economy grow. And making sure that experienced union workers build it means reliable service and good jobs. Tell Congress to build broadband better because it's essential to helping families rise.
All right, that website is buildbroadbandbetter.org. And the man you just heard is on our live line, Kojak Valentine. Welcome to America's Workforce. Thanks for joining us today.
Oh, thanks for having me. I really appreciate you.
Let's learn a little bit about Kojak. Interesting name. I think that's kind of cool. And talk to me about your union activity. How long have you been a member of the CWA?
I've been active within the CWA for about 15 years now. It's a wonderful experience. I appreciate everything that it's given me and has shown me, and I'm just happy to be here today.
And why did you get involved in the CWA? I mean, do unions run in your family? What's the deal?
No, unions don't really run in my family. It was just the opportunity that was presented to me by a past president. He took a liking to me, took me up under his wing and kind of showed me the ropes of what a union consists of. And I've basically been flourishing ever since.
And now you're the regional coordinator for the Build Broadband Better National Project. That's pretty cool. So obviously, you've got a pretty good interest in this whole thing, and I know you're located in Detroit right now. Let's just start with the Michigan area. What's the status of broadband there? I mean, I know this is a nationwide campaign, and there's some areas that are better than others. What's the situation there, Kojak?
Well, here in Michigan, we have a split, a divide. We have rural areas as well as urban areas, city areas. And then the rural areas, the infrastructure is just it's unserved. There's customers and people who are unserved areas, and then the rural areas is systems that are pretty much outdated that affects the broadband signal. So that's why we're building this coalition as well as this project, just to get to those unserved areas and get them better broadband service.
Now, do you coordinate with the other parts of the country as well? I mean, because there's some like Wyoming or Idaho. Now, that's a wide open area there, and so the people are not being served. Now, how does this this coalition working? Can you explain that part?
Yeah, the Build Broadband Better Coalition is a coalition of CWA activists from across the country. And our goal is to basically push the envelope and getting broadband service built for the whole country, not just for our particular regions. But, of course, in different regions, you have different problems in different areas. But the ultimate goal is the same. It's just to get built broadband better for our country and for our nation to basically flourish in today's economy.
Now, is this supposed to be built into the infrastructure proposal? I know that they're trying to do that, but there's a bit of pushback because there's some senators saying, well, wait a minute, infrastructure is just roads and bridges. It's not the internet. Are you hearing that same kind of thing, Kojak?
Of course, but of course you got to understand in today's technology, broadband internet signal is just as good as road infrastructure. And the Accessible Affordable Internet Bill Act has $79.5 billion for broadband build infrastructure.
Now, Kojak, is that enough money? What's your take on that?
Of course, more is better. I don't think that's enough, but it's a great start. It's a great start in getting us going in the right direction to build broadband better and to basically make the accessibility comfortable for everybody that's involved.
Kojak, I was reading a statement from your president, Chris Sheldon, and he said if the pandemic taught us anything, it taught us everybody needs broadband. It's like electricity or water. And you know what's happened in a number of schools. If they did not have good internet service, kids weren't learning. Can you speak to that part? Because I'm sure a lot of that happened in your area.
Oh, yeah, this is correct. The COVID-19 pandemic exposed gaps in broadband service. And of course, those gaps were shown in the school systems. A lot of school kids, if not all school kids, were learning from home via service, virtual service, and things of that nature. And a lot of them in my area didn't have the connectivity. Of course, they were put on wireless internet signal, which wasn't reliable. It kept dropping. It wasn't strong enough. It was just so many different things that they had to experience that hindered their learning process. With building broadband better and building up the infrastructure, it basically makes a more secure signal, and you're not focusing on Wi-Fi, 5G, or anything like that. That's, in my opinion, really not reliable when it comes to learning and education.
Well, let's expand on that. I think there's a lot of people that don't understand what broadband infrastructure would mean. And you mentioned wireless, and I know it's everything is wireless. We all have our devices today. But when it comes to the infrastructure, what goes into that part, Kojak?
What goes into building up the infrastructure is really construction and money, really. Because what it is you have an infrastructure that's outdated with today's technology. So we have to basically rebuild that infrastructure, putting in construction work within wiring, fiber, poles, equipment that have to be maintenance. And, of course, this system is being built by CWA workers, and we want to continue to have that service built by CWA workers. It makes it more reliable. Like you said yourself, Wi-Fi is everywhere. But, of course, we understand that Wi-Fi has its limitations. And it's like I said before, it's just not something that we want to put our children in charge with using that service and making it subpar to them getting that correct education that they need in today's times. I'll give you an example. It was one particular situation here in Michigan where it was a group of kids and they had to be school bused to a local business just to get on their Wi-Fi signal because they didn't have any other Wi-Fi signals in their area. It was a rural area, and this was something that someone came up with just to get them on and get them virtual learning. Of course, like I said, it had its limitations, but it was things like that that made it seem that the infrastructure needs to have some attention shown to it just to move forward in the future to have kids learn better.
Kojak, do we have any estimate on how many jobs, and these are good union jobs, CWA jobs, that could be created if Congress did the right thing on this issue? Do we have any data on that yet?
We don't have the accurate, correct data, but of course, me as a technician, I can let you know it creates thousands, if not thousands of hundreds of jobs. Because like I say, the task at hand is a big task. You have to build up the infrastructure, like I said, having construction builds, fiber builds, and that's many man hours of work that can continue to boost up the economy and give us a good chance, fighting chance out here in today's world when it comes to technology and internet.
Any idea on how long it would take to get it to where it should be? Is that possible to figure out now?
Not at this time. Are you talking about the funding or the build itself?
Say we got the money tomorrow. Well, let's use an example here. I want to be optimistic. All of a sudden, we got billions of dollars for broadband. How long will it take to use that money to get where America should be with broadband?
Well, if the money is put out there immediately, and that's in a perfect world, of course, we can get going as soon as possible. And, of course, it's going to take I would hate to try to put an estimate on something like that, to be honest with you, because regions are different. And, of course, if we were to have our union members build it, I would think that it would move a little bit faster and be a little more efficient because we're trained to do so. If it was contracted out, in my opinion, that would affect the time frame on how long something like this would take. That's another thing that's considered about this bill. We want to make sure that this work is given to union workers. You know, we've been trained properly by our company and by our union to do this job. So we're the best candidate in getting this work and getting this work put out there the right way, in my opinion.
I hear you, brother. All right, I got to take a quick break here. Can you stay with us for a few more seconds? Because I know other parts of the world are beating us on this, and I'd like to speak to that. Is that okay with you?
Sure, that's fine.
Kojak Valentine is his name, active member within the CWA, and he is currently the regional coordinator for the Build Broadband Better National Project. And, the national website is cwa-union.org. They're proud sponsors, but the specific website is buildbroadbandbetter.org, buildbroadbandbetter.org. It's our infrastructure. You ain't got to face it. That's, you know, electricity, water, and broadband are all part of our infrastructure today. Speaking of which, Greg Regan, on behalf of the Transportation Trades Department, he'll be joining us to talk about that bipartisan piece of legislation that may move forward today. Back in a few minutes.
You're listening to America's Workforce with Ed Flash Ferens.
It takes LIUNA to power North America with affordable energy. The men and women of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, have the skills needed to build and maintain oil, natural gas, nuclear, solar, and wind projects that are shaping America's energy future. From new energy tech to retrofitted facilities, LIUNA members do it all. Find out what it takes to be powered by LIUNA at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.org.
The Heat and Frost Insulators and Allied Workers are proud to be a title sponsor for America's Workforce Radio. The Insulators Union is leading the way in the mechanical insulation industry, fire stopping, and infectious disease control. Regarded as North America's energy conservation specialist, these professionals are known for their professional work and dedication. You can learn more about the Insulators Union at insulators.org.
Have you or a loved one been diagnosed with prostate, breast, or any other cancer after taking Zantac? You may be entitled to compensation. The trial lawyers at Kelly & Ferrell may be able to help you. Find us at KellyandFerraro.com. Kelly and Ferraro, trial lawyers.
Buildings, bridges, skyscrapers, and more. Structures that are the face of our cities and towns were built by members of the Ironworkers Union. That's why it's important that our workforce of over 130,000 ironworkers continues to be the safest and best trained in the field. With 154 training centers, we invest over $90 million annually in safety and training. We're growing the next generation of union ironworkers. There are so many reasons to put your trust in our ironworkers and their employers. Learn more about us at ironworkers.org.
Now, back to Ed Flash Ferens with America's Workforce.
And don't forget, we're available on 5 platforms now. That includes Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, as well as Pandora. When you get an opportunity, just sign up and receive our shows on a regular basis and eventually give us a rating. We'd appreciate a 5-star rating. Let's go back to our live line and rejoin Kojak Valentine. Kojak is the regional coordinator for the Build Broadband Better National Project. We're just talking off the air here about saying that 5 times quick. Not an easy task. Buildbroadbandbetter.org is the website, and Kojak is in the middle of it all. Kojak, a couple things here. This campaign, and I was reading about how comprehensive, it includes a petition to Congress, a TV and digital ad campaign, and a major push on behalf of a big union like the CWA. Talk to me about this petition to Congress. Are you seeking out every member? I mean, we're talking, what, 435 in the House, 100 senators, and where are we with that right now? Are you having personal conversations with them? Can you bring us up to speed?
Yes, well, it would be wonderful if we could get everybody on board with this because, like we said before, building up the broadband infrastructure is key in today's success and America's success. Of course, we haven't reached that milestone by having everybody get on board with it, and we're currently in the fight to get everybody on board. We have a good set of participation coming across the board. Of course, it's a bipartisanship issue. The numbers aren't actually given back to us about who's supporting us as of this moment, but we're headed in the right direction.
And the point to be made here, and Kojak referenced this in the first segment, I mean, everybody's got wireless today. Now, this goes beyond that. This is talking about building an infrastructure, and I think everybody knows how many times a call is dropped. Or you're driving, you're talking to somebody, hands-free, hopefully, in your car, and all of a sudden you lose them. Well, that's the problem. That's the problem. That's part of our infrastructure. And other countries, and this is what I want to get into, because the United States is way, way, way behind on this. This campaign, talk about looking into the future. The CWA, and this is probably when you started working, Kojak, 15 years ago. I remember the campaign we talked about on the show, Speed Matters. And it was the slow speed that everybody was encountering. And a lot of people are still dealing with slow speed because they don't have the proper broadband access. But you being part of this campaign, I'm sure you did a lot of research into other countries and what they're doing. Can you speak to that?
Yes, I will. And I take this personal because when I did my research and I realized that America, we rank 26th in the world when it comes to broadband infrastructure. And I just thought that that was appalling, being that we're ranked 26th. We have the greatest nation in the world, and we're that low on the scale of broadband service. Because everybody knows if you have a good broadband service, that puts you at the top of the rank when it comes to being successful in the world and being front runners in everything with technology, business, things of that nature. So, of course, America needs high-speed internet, affordable broadband internet. It helps us to learn, to shop, and succeed in today's world. However, a million of us don't have that reliable service. And, of course, Joe Biden's American plan has an infrastructure package that includes $100 billion for broadband. And we at the CWA are basically doing everything we can to make sure that this becomes successful so we can become successful.
You mentioned a key word, affordability, and you know how expensive some of these cell phone plans are today. And, you know, you got cable companies involved in internet access today. It's important that everybody is able to afford that. Is that kind of being worked into this legislation, to your knowledge, Kojak?
Oh, of course. Like I said, affordability is actually in the title. It's the accessible, affordability internet for all access. And, of course, like you said, if you don't have it affordable to everybody, to reach everybody, we'll basically stay stagnated in where we are now. Because you have some areas where I'm from where you have good internet access. But then you have certain areas, like I say, my rural areas and my urban areas, where the basically internet service is subpar. And it affects when it comes to learning, when it comes to business, when it just becomes to the whole all-around quality of life when you're dealing with internet service. So the affordable part is a key part, in my opinion, because if you make it affordable for everyone and you make it reliable for everyone, then that puts us on the path to becoming number one in the world when it comes to broadband infrastructure.
Kojak, how do you feel for the moment? Because keep in mind, we got a pro-union president, probably the most pro-union president since FDR. He's supporting the PRO Act. I'm sure you know about the PRO Act. We've been doing a lot on that. And we don't have a huge majority in the House or in the Senate. Of course, it's 50-50, and we've got Kamala Harris moving forward. Well, I mean, what's your gut telling you right now? I'm making this kind of thing happening because, you know, I know it's the right thing to do. I mean, the issue always seems to be money in the halls of Congress. But wondering your thoughts moving forward here. You think this is going to happen?
Oh, yeah, I feel very optimistic about this. I feel that this is the perfect time for something like this to take advancement. We have Joe Biden in there, like you said, who's pro-union, and we have a strong union within the CWA as well as other organizations within the country. So these times are key times that we have. In my opinion, we do have a short window because, of course, 4 years goes by just like that. So we want to make sure that we take the necessary time and take the necessary effort to get something like this implemented and get it out there. That's why at CWA, we hit the ground running and we're working hard to make sure that this becomes something that we feel they can change the world. You know, this is the way for the future. Yeah,
absolutely.
There is no going backwards. You know, there is no more going back to dial up and going back to POTS, and that's plain old telephone service. This is the wave of the future, and this is something that, of course, is going to take funding, and we have to get that funding if we're going to compete out here. And this is for our kids because, of course, in the next 15 to 20 years, the kids that are coming up and learning now, these are going to be the kids that are going to be in charge of running the world. And we want to make sure that we give them a fair opportunity in doing such where they can compete out here.
Well said, my man. All right, we have a national audience here. You heard me talk about the five different platforms that we're on. Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, Pandora. Speak to the national audience here. What do we need to do as listeners of America's Workforce, Kojak? What would that be?
Well, to get started, what we would ask you to do is just to call your representative and let them know that this is something that's passionate to you. Let them know that you feel and share your stories with everyone. I'm pretty sure everyone around the globe has, around the country has pandemic stories when it came to internet and broadband service. So just share your stories with your representatives, call your representatives, let them know that this is something that you're passionate about, that you fully support, get them on board with it. And once you get them on board with it, we can get this bill passed and we can go ahead and get started on the work with the big task at hand in building up the infrastructure. So what I would probably say is just get the word out, lobby with your representatives, and let's get the ball going.
There you go. All right, national website for the CWA is cwa-union.org, proud sponsor of this show. And the campaign is buildbroadbandbetter.org. You can get all the details on this major drive on behalf of the Communication Workers of America. Kojak, great job today. Really appreciate you coming on the show. Frank said you're the guy to talk to. Kojak Valentine, regional coordinator for the Build Broadband Better National Project. You keep the faith, keep doing what you're doing, and stay in touch with us, okay?
I will. You do the same, and thank you for having me. And to all your listeners, let's keep the fight going.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Greg Regan's going to talk about infrastructure as well, the bipartisan deal, and he's with the Transportation Trades Department of the Labor Federation.
This is America's Workforce. More shows available at awfradio.com.
It takes LIUNA to keep America running. Over 70,000 public employees are part of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, delivering critical services such as health care and emergency response, as well as maintaining roads and sanitation systems. Even the National Postal Mail Handlers Union, representing over 47,000 U.S. postal workers, is affiliated with LIUNA. Find out what it takes for LIUNA to keep America running at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.org.
America's Workforce appreciates our sponsor, the Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council, who represents more than 18,000 workers from 19 affiliated local unions and district councils.
The AFL-CIO is a proud sponsor of America's Workforce Radio. United by efforts to raise wages, listeners to this show and workers all across America are beginning to turn a corner and drive the economic debate. The AFL-CIO is comprised of 12.5 million working people from 56 unions, but we stand with and fight for everyone who is working for a better life. For more information about our raising wages agenda, go to AFLCIO.org.
The United Auto Workers are one of the largest and most diverse unions in North America, with members in virtually every sector of the economy. Learn more about this proud sponsor of our program at UAW.org.
Union members need to be heard. Reliable and convenient union voting has never been more important than it is now. Make voting easy for your membership by working with survey and ballot systems. SBS offers encrypted and monitored solutions that ensure your elections are accurate and accessible for every member through mail-in, online, and in-person voting. Visit surveyandballotsystems.com and take the next step in getting secure and auditable elections.
Now, back to America's Workforce. Here's Ed Flash Ferens.
And don't forget, you can check us out on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. Twitter handle, real simple, AWF Union Podcast, AWF Union Podcast. Let's go to line number two. Welcome one of our regulars, Greg Regan. Greg is president of the Transportation Trades Department of the AFL-CIO, TTD.org. And he's here to tell us the latest on that bipartisan infrastructure deal that we may see move forward today. I don't know. It was supposed to move forward last week. They were saying Monday. Today's Monday. You know how these things go. Hey, Greg, welcome back to the show. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, Flash. Thanks for having me.
So, what's the holdup? I mean, I'm reading, and I got to hear from you because you're in the middle of it all over there in Washington. I'm hearing that they're fighting over funding for mass transit. Is that right?
Yes, I think that's part of it. There are a lot of things. There was an agreement on a framework, which is always, makes me chuckle a little bit because it's like, so we've agreed that the circle is indeed a circle, but we haven't agreed on what color the inside is or anything like that. So there was a lot of details need to be filled out. And with anything like this, you knew that there were going to be a lot of disagreements. Transit is a big one. Certain members of the Republican Party do not like public transit. They don't like the word public in it. And we've been fighting to make sure that we maintain what has been the status quo since the early 80s in terms of what the distribution of funds, federal funds between transit and highways are. And, that's one of the sticking points so far.
I guess they don't understand there's a big slice of the American population that cannot afford a vehicle, and they rely on buses and subways every day. But I guess that doesn't seem to matter to them. That's my opinion. I don't know. But
what's really amazing to me is that this is, their investments in transit, investments in passenger rail, for instance, that is greening our infrastructure. That's the way that even if you don't take some of the most progressive and forward-looking environmental aspects of say, the Invest Act, which is the Peter DeFazio bill in the House,
if you start rolling back on the big investments in transit, then you are going to lose a huge proportion of the section of the Democratic Party in the House. So you might be able to satisfy Republicans in the Senate, but politically, there's long-term implications here. So, and there's a reason why it's been at the 80-20 split for as long as it has. That has been the, you know, a long-standing agreement in terms of how we should prioritize our investment in highway money. And it does puzzle me that this is where they're going. This is the fight they want to have right now.
And it's contrary to the polling. We did a show on this a couple of weeks. Yeah, we did a show on this a couple of weeks ago, and more people, especially young ones, they're living in like urban areas. They don't even want to drive. They want that subway. They want that train, and they're not getting results out of Washington. So,
and there are a lot of growing cities that could use transit systems that need to have better transit options. So, I mean, it is a crime that we're not doing better on that.
And let's be clear, we're talking about the $1.2 trillion bill. Now Biden wants to go bigger, and the Democrats want to go bigger. And maybe you could help me through that, because are they kind of using this, the Democrats I'm referring to, are they kind of using this as a down payment to get to the bigger proposal?
I think that's part of the idea. You know, there's this this plan where they would vote on a budget reconciliation bill that would allow them to do a reconciliation package later and do a bipartisan infrastructure bill and then get what you can out of the Republicans and then do another bill that would be purely partisan through reconciliation. And that would include more, broader spending initiatives. And nice. I don't know that package has not, the budget bill has not passed the Senate yet, which would need to happen in order for this plan to take shape. That's what the speaker has said that she needs a reconciliation bill as in addition to whatever the bipartisan infrastructure bill is. So, I think what you saw with Biden's American Jobs Plan, which was 1.3 or 1.2 trillion, and this is less than half of that. I think that this is what the infrastructure bill is going to be for the most part. We're going to see other things and other priorities coming out of the Democrats. But let's be clear: this is, even if we're at $600 billion or $500 billion. That would still be the largest investment in infrastructure in the history of our country. And that includes New Deal type spending. So that's nothing to scoff at. And we have a really big opportunity here. And it's not a moment that I think we can afford to pass up as a country, that we can't squander this moment to sort of reset where we are when it comes to infrastructure. And that includes transit, roads, ports, rail. We are way behind, and we really have to make these investments right now. And I appreciate that and I applaud the administration for making this a priority and pushing as hard as they are.
Greg, I noticed on your website that this is all designed to be a worker first recovery. You know, I mean, it's so important. Mm-hmm. So important. Put workers first. You hear America first. I get that. But let's put workers first, because workers have not been put first for a long time. I'm wondering, and there's a lot of, obviously, we're talking a lot of jobs here, and these are going to be good union jobs. Are these like mandated to be union jobs, or is this just goes without saying those areas? When it comes to roads, bridges, and ports, they're typically union brothers and sisters, right?
Oh, well, and this is something that I know the White House has been, and Biden has been clear about this from the beginning, and I know the Democrats have been clear about this in the negotiating table. Those labor protections need to be in there. Making sure the prevailing wage is in there, making sure that Buy America is part of this, so that if we're going to be spending billions of dollars on new concrete and steel, that and frankly, in buying more trains and buses, that money is being invested here, so that when we're manufacturing them, union workers in the U.S. are making those buses. all those labor protections, as far as I know, are a hard line for the Democrats, and we are pushing hard to make sure it stays that way. Because the good news is I think we have people in the White House and certainly the Democratic Party in Congress who recognizes that the true economic benefit comes when you are investing in the workers. And that means making sure that people are being paid a living wage, that they have benefits, that the money is going back into communities, so that we're not, just dumping money and have seen it go overseas or seen it, perpetuate poverty wages. And that is really encouraging to hear. And I know the White House has been very firm on that issue.
Well, that's good to hear. Really good to hear. All right, we got a couple of minutes left, and I got to pick your brain on this. And we've been reaching out to the Flight Attendants Union, Transport Workers Union, and we're just getting these horror stories of what's going on in America with passengers. In some cases, they're totally drunk on the plane. They're told they have to wear a mask. They don't want to wear a mask. They start fighting. I read a story just a couple of weeks ago about a passenger, this is on an American Airlines flight, who had to be duct taped to her seat. This is a woman, because she tried to open the plane door. I'm like, are you kidding me? Greg, I don't know. I know the fines are extraordinary. Is there any kind of answer to what's going on in America? I know a lot of people are frustrated. We're still in the middle of a pandemic. In some parts, it's even worse with this Delta variant. What's your take on what's going on here?
Well, first of all, I would say if everyone's frustrated by having to wear a mask and the fact that, we're still in a pandemic, you want to fix that? Go get vaccinated. Everybody. I'm just, that's the way we get through this thing, is to make sure that, right, that everybody gets, as many people as possible, get vaccinated. And then that we, hopefully that means there are fewer and fewer spreads of the Delta variant and fewer people get sick and go to the hospital and die. That's the way we get through this. It's not through protesting mask mandates or, refusing to get the shot. Second of all, I think that people are, I think that everyone's under a huge amount of stress. And, in addition to the flight attendant side, which is just, really troubling. I'm glad that the FAA is actually levying fines. That those laws have been on the books, by the way, for a long time, and they've never been enforced in the way they are right now, and they've never issued fines the way they are right now, which I'm very pleased to see happening. And I know there are a lot of us in the labor side who welcome that and want to see that continue, because this is not new. It's been amplified. It's gotten worse, but it's not new. There's a reason why those laws are on the books, because people seem to think that they can do whatever they want when they're in the air. So, I don't know. I think we need to continue to have these fines. I think we need to continue to publicize what the consequences are. And also, we need to make sure that this behavior is not only banned in the air, but on buses and on trains, and where we're seeing all sorts of violent assaults on operators and on passengers that are just unconscionable. And I don't know how we get past this moment, but it is really depressing that sort of we're in a situation where, and I get it that it's a very stressful and very challenging moment for our country, but the idea that you can treat a fellow human being, someone who is operating the vehicle that is getting you from point A to point B, and you can, physically assault them, is just awful. And it sickens me that we have to read about these things every week now.
Yeah, it is tragic in some cases. That one Southwest flight attendant lost two of her teeth from an unruly passenger. All right, we're going to have to leave it on that note. TTD.org is the website. You can also follow them on Twitter, TTDAFLCIO, TTDAFLCIO. Well, let's hope for the best on this infrastructure bill, and we'll see you next month, okay?
Okay, great. Thanks, Flash.
All right, that's it for another edition of America's Workforce. Tomorrow, our independent labor voice, Tom Buffenbarger, and the Insulators out of Boston. Until then, all of you have a safe and wonderful day.
That concludes another episode of the America's Workforce Radio Podcast. Thanks for listening, and be sure to subscribe so you never miss a show. America's Workforce is a production of Labor Tools and BMA Media Group. Find out more information online at labortools.com.